Future Proof Extra
with Jonathan McRae.
Proudly supported by Research Ireland
on News Talk.
Now, VR can allow you to experience what it might be like to float in space or to drive a Formula One car or to see what a medieval town looked like. But entertainment is not its only use. Immersive media could also provide therapeutic benefits for the elderly. That's according to my next guest. Martin O'Neill is a lecturer in population health informatics and statistics at the Atlantic Technological University. He joins me now. Welcome to the program, Martin. Talk to us, just remind people what VR is, if you don't mind, before we talk about your work in neuropsychology.
Sure. Yeah. Well, thanks a lot for having me, Jonathan, on the program. So VR stands for virtual reality. So, and it's typically delivered via headsets. I'm sure most people are familiar with these days, a bit very popular. And the virtual reality can really come in two main versions. So true virtual reality would be a virtual version of reality. So like a computer programmed, you know, pixelated image of reality. And another format that is used is 360 degree live video, which is actually a live video footage that is taken with 360 degree cameras. And then you can, using a VR headset, you can immerse yourself within that environment 360 degrees. So when you put the headset on, you're in that space, you can move your head, you can move around the environment, spin on a swivel chair, see 360 degrees of the live environment. So those are the two main sort of subdivisions of virtual reality.
Yeah, and VR got really good a few years ago. I remember doing a video with George Hook, and I put him in a virtual reality headset for the first time many years ago, and he freaked the flip out.
Yes.
You know, for those not familiar with the technology, it can be really, really like a magical experience where they put this headset on and they see a world that looks and feels very real, but is either completely generated by a computer program or is a video of some other place that feels like it's right here and now. So how does that help in neuropsychology, particularly when you're dealing with the elderly?
Yeah, so you're right. That initial effect is when you observe somebody experiencing, and I still remember my first experience of this, it's compelling. So one of the major issues older adults face is lack of accessibility to activities, simple, straightforward activities that they, you know, may have enjoyed throughout their whole lives and you know, even on a daily basis. And when I say simple activities, I mean, you know, going for a walk, going outside, going for a walk in the park, going for a walk down the beach. And, you know, due to a variety of different reasons, but particularly older adults who are in residential care or in nursing homes, they're, you know, for a variety of reasons, they're deprived of access to these types of environments. So what virtual reality can do is it can bring those environments into the nursing home, and it can bring those environments to these older adults who otherwise don't have access to these environments anymore.
And so what is the therapeutic approach here? What are you trying to do with the VR headset to help with this problem of a lack of exposure to new environments?
Yeah, so where we're actually coming at this from is, you know, a sort of general quality of life approach. So we've recognized, I mean, it's widely recognized, you know, that there are many sort of health and well-being issues for older adults that result from, you know, social isolation, that result from, you know, lack of connection to outdoors, to nature, to family, and cognitive decline as well through a lack of stimulation. So these are well-known issues that impact upon the quality of life of older adults. Now, there is a whole load of research that shows how you can resolve these issues in all sorts of populations, not just older adults. So if we take nature experience as an example, you know, outdoor walking in nature, there is now a growing body of research that shows how this enhances well-being by reducing stress, reducing the stress hormone cortisol. We can measure this, reducing anxiety, increasing mood, increasing general quality of life and well-being, and enhancing cognitive abilities as well. So the idea there is that if the older adults can access these activities that are so impactful, you know, they're such key determinants of health, And these have been, you know, the older adults have been deprived of these. So if we can, through virtual environment, bring those activities, bring them back to the older adults, replace this, you know, what's missing from their lives, then the hope is that we can then, you know, enhance their quality of life across all of those different areas.
So for those who think of VR as this sort of dystopian technology, you know, that big tech wants to use to replace reality, how can a real life experience be replicated in any way by VR? Like, is there any evidence to suggest that, you know, being in a VR headset outside by the beach actually benefits the mood or the feelings of quality of life or the day-to-day happiness of an elderly person if it's not a real beach, if it's just pixels on the screen?
So look, I think two questions there. So one thing that I actually would like to be absolutely clear on is we are not interested at all in, you know, replacing real life experiences with virtual experiences. What we're doing is in my research, in my wider research area, looking at the effects of nature on you know, brain health and cognition and well-being, what we're looking at is whether we can, you know, identify comparable effects in a virtual situation compared to a real life situation. Now, there is data out there indicating that there are beneficial effects. There is research going on now all over the world and showing, you know, using surveys, interviewing individuals, but also using objective measures like measuring cortisol, which shows reductions in stress, that these virtual environments do have comparable effects to real life environments. But I, again, to be absolutely clear, if you can go to the beach for a walk, go to the beach for a walk. Do not put a VR headset on instead. What we are doing is we are looking at taking virtual experiences to individuals who can no longer access the real live experiences. Yeah.
And so what happens then when you put a VR headset on an octogenarian who hasn't been outdoors apart from on a wheelchair for months?
It's such a joy to behold, I have to say. The elation. I mean, they literally spring to life. That's what we're seeing when they go into the headsets. They become active. You know, we usually would have them on a swivel chair so that they can explore the environment when they're in there. They get very active. They start chatting. They start talking about the environment that they're in. There's engagement. We've had, you know, older adults and pairs sitting in the same experience in two headsets. You're walking around a farm and they're chatting about the cows in the farm and, you know, what cows should go to market. You know, so, and this is instantaneous. This is without us doing anything other than just putting a VR headset on these older adults. And that extends out as well. Everyone in the care home, the care staff as well, get really involved. There's a buzz in the room whenever we do this. So much so that a couple of nursing homes, you know, the directors of the nursing homes have been around. We've been there, not necessarily planning to come along to what we were doing, but they've come along because there was such a buzz and an energy coming out of the room to see what was going on. And then they've got involved as well. So it really is compelling. Just to add to that as well, it's not just what happens in the headset neither. When they take the headset off, they want to talk about it. You know, they want to tell the care staff what they saw. You know, they want to chat to other people who've been in the headset. So it seems to have this lasting effect as well. And that's the whole aim here, Jonathan. Yeah. You can just bring something into the nursing home that just elevates that, you know, quality of life.
And so what sort of experiences are you giving these people? I mean, is it, you know, a trip to the Bahamas? Are they, you know, at the top of the Himalayas? Or are they visiting their childhood streets? Like, what do you find is the most beneficial and the most stimulating in terms of engaging these elderly residents of nursing homes?
Yeah, so at the moment, we're working on a project called the Tech Age Project, which is a Research Ireland-funded project to develop a platform for delivering 360-degree video via virtual reality. Now, the pilot work that led to the, you know, successful funding for this project involved us taking VR headsets with some preloaded 360-degree videos. You know, we took four or five videos with 360-degree cameras. But there's also, you know, you can access sort of generic content online as well on YouTube. So we use that. So when we go into nursing homes, and that's the phase of this project that we're in at the moment, is we're going into nursing homes. So we're speaking to the older adults, or speaking to the care staff, or speaking to the families, so that when we move on to the next stage and we're actually going to build a prototype for this platform, that we build it around what these what the older adults and the care staff need. So what we've been doing is taking in these sort of preloaded videos that we have taken onto the headsets, and yeah, they enjoy that. But what we're finding out through this research, through speaking to the older adults, is what they'd actually like to experience, where they would like to go. And a lot of this it fits in with what we call reminiscence therapy. So what we're finding out is that, you know, they would like to, you know, our initial idea was taking outdoors, indoors, you know, providing them with nature experiences. And many of the older adults are interested in that. Many are not that interested in nature. Many of them want to go for a walk down the street in their hometown.
The whole world at your doorstep, and you want to walk down Main Street in Athlone.
Exactly. But that's I think a lot of these older adults, they want to go back, Jonathan. You know, this is what they miss. And this is what we're finding out. And you know, we're analysing that data now, and we're going to getting quite deep into sort of understanding the needs and requirements. And it's not as simple as just, you know, a walk out in nature. They want a sense of autonomy. They want a sense of control. They want to go back. They want to feel reconnected to their history, to themselves, to their family environments. To regain a sense of identity. You know, a lot of these things seem to be dropping off, and older adults, particularly in residential care. And that's the phase that we're at in this Tech Age project, which stands for Transforming Elderly Care with Immersive Media and Agentic AI. Is before we start building a platform, we're doing this called stakeholder engagement to find out exactly what they need. And what they need is personalized experiences.
Yeah. I mean, walking down a beautiful beach is one thing for some people, you know, having memories. But, you know, it opens up a whole world because, you know, artists like Charlie XCX and Coldplay and Metallica have all had live streamed seats at their concerts, you know. So, you know, I have to say, the idea of being in a nursing home and never being able to leave, I can only imagine the cognitive effects it would have, you know, that lack of stimulation. I see this as only a good thing, as long as it doesn't replace human interaction. But do we have any outcomes yet in terms of how this might help memory, cognitive function, appetite for food, depression? Do we have any data from that that's from other studies? Or are you seeing anything that you think this has actually got a proper therapeutic benefit beyond stimulation?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, there is a lot of data now. So as I alluded to earlier on, based on the types of experiences, like nature connection, example, we know the benefits there. But there has been specific studies using VR with older adults as well. And yeah, across the board, reductions in stress, reductions in anxiety, increases in cognitive function. So using like memory recall tests, that has been observed, reported in the research as well. Increase in engagement as well, so social engagement, and also quality of life. So you know, there are survey scales out there you can use that measure overall well-being and quality of life. And this is enhanced as well through these experiences using VR.
If you get compelling evidence for that this works, that it really improves the quality of life for people at nursing homes, is it possible that we might see something like this either as a standard offering of care at nursing homes, or something actually that the HSE develops and delivers to improve quality of life for elderly people? Are we likely to walk into nursing homes up and down the country and see everybody on VR headsets when it's not visiting time?
Hopefully to an extent as well, you know, because we have to be very careful here. We don't want to replace, you know, real life experiences. We don't want to, you know, we don't want a dystopian situation where an individual in a nursing home is just, you know, sitting there in their room on a VR headset all day.
But just to challenge that as an idea, right? Yeah. If, and I'm making assumptions here based on, you know, my limited experience of nursing homes, but having been to nursing homes where everything is quite quiet, it's quite muted. I'm someone who really enjoys, you know, a more stimulating environment. The idea that I could choose between, you know, a concert of my favorite band, or I could sit in a room while, you know, the RTE One was on the TV, and I had a blanket on my lap, and I felt very old. I mean, is there a danger that people will not enjoy the non-VR time when they're out of the headset, when they realize, oh my God, this is what the real world is, and this is what is out there that I can't reach? I mean, I wonder, would that depress me after a short period of time? And has anyone looked at that?
So this is a challenge, you know, that we are aware of, and that we need to be very careful about as well. And maybe just to give you a bit of context here as well, Jonathan, you know that quiet environment that you experience when you walk into a nursing home?
Yeah.
The residents don't necessarily want that.
Mm.
You know, when you speak to them, they're not telling us, you know, oh, I like just sitting here not saying anything. There's quite a few reasons why they're sitting here not saying anything, you know, and I think it does relate to a lot of these other, you know, issues I mentioned about loneliness and isolation, and ultimately, you know, they've been removed from their home environment. They're in a different environment, and they don't really know what to do in that environment neither. Mm. So it's not the case that necessarily that they're all sitting there, you know, chilled out in that environment.
And yeah,
what we need to think about is, how can we integrate this VR experience in a way that doesn't result in all of those negative outcomes that you mentioned, and that from what we've seen, you know, that like I said, related to that buzz and the way they're all talking to each other, they're talking amongst themselves, they're talking to the care staff. That's what happens when they come out of the VR headsets. Mm-hmm. So we need think about a way in which we can implement this and embed this within nursing home protocols, you know, and you know, compliance with regulatory body requirements in a way that doesn't result in those negative outcomes that you're referring to, and it goes in the opposite direction. So yeah, it's not as simple as just sticking a VR headset on people and just like leaving them to it. There's a lot to think about here on how this is going to be done, you know, and there's a lot around sort of governance and regulation, etc., to make sure that what we're doing here is going in the right direction and not in the dystopian direction.
Is there particular experiences that might be useful for particular conditions that someone might experience in a nursing home? So say, for example, if someone had depression, or if someone had anxiety, or if someone was feeling very lonely, are there virtual reality experiences that have been shown to alleviate those specific conditions, or is it just the idea of stimulation and engagement and giving them and their mind something different?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question, you know, and it is something that we're looking at exploring in more detail. I think the straightforward answer to your question is that it seems to be more general in terms of having that experience of, you know, connecting to nature or whatever it might be has a knock-on effect, you know, on this, on stress and anxiety. But another element of what we're doing here in this project is it's not just providing VR experiences with 360-degree video. We're actually going to be using AI, agentic AI, to provide personalized experiences as well. So tracking the usage and you know, where an individual, what videos they've watched previously, and we could build in sort of rating, you know, systems as well, kind of like what you see on these streaming services. But we could also ask questions, you know, like you know how are you feeling today, and this is actually where I come into the project as a neuropsychologist. So my co-lead on the project, Dr. William Farrelly, is based in ATU Donegal. He's the lecturer in computing, so he's on the computing side. As a neuropsychologist, my job here is to find out, you know, what are the benefits? Can we measure the benefits? And what areas are they benefiting individuals? And also, can we then use data to provide these personalized types of experiences, or at least provide recommendations, you know, from, and then we can, you know, pull out from the library of videos that we have in there. So that's the plan, is to build that sort of bespoke environment that had recommendations built in, that has memory of you know, the users. And we would like to go in that direction. And we're going to be using data and analysis in order to be able to hopefully you know, achieve that.
There are technologies that allow AI to generate worlds in real time. You know, so like if you're in a video game, you can play the game. The world is generated in front of you the second you're playing it. So it feels like this world goes on forever, but it's actually just being created in real time. I can imagine that might also have some uses in this environment in virtual reality, where you can actually dictate what the world will look like based on live feedback from participants, although the technology is probably not quite there yet.
Yeah, so that's why. So on this project, we're starting with the 360-degree video experience. But what we'll also be, you know, following up with, and you know, sort of more long term goal, is building virtual environments, very much like what you've just explained. Mm-hmm. But building, replicating, you know, likes of let's say Sleeve League, for example. You know, yeah. we can take a 360-degree video there, but we can replicate that in a virtual environment. We can build in additional elements there as well. Like you say, that the environment can be programmed to change. You can build an avatar into that environment that can communicate with the user as well. You know, and the interactivity as well that you can, you know, enable in virtual environments as opposed to 360-degree video. That interactivity actually adds benefit as well.
If people are interested in finding out more about this, what do they do, Martin?
Yeah, absolutely. So please, if MDI is interested in working with us on this project, they can either connect with me on LinkedIn. So my name is Martin O'Neill, so ATU, Population Health, they'll find me, or send us an email at techageproject@protonmail.com.
Super. Martin, thank you so much.
Excellent. Thank you, Jonathan.
Future Proof Extra
with Jonathan McRae.
Proudly supported by Research Ireland
on News Talk.